broadcasting from KUCR Studios in UC Riverside. This is the Highlander Newsroom. I'm your host, Colin Markovich, joined today by...
Cody Nguyen, Assistant Sports Editor.
Jake Rich, Managing Editor.
Cameron Yong, Assistant Photo Editor.
Welcome.
And Assistant Video
Editor.
Yes.
Welcome to the newsroom, the people behind the paper. And we've got Cody, it's your first time back on the show, and how long has it been? It's been...
Maybe like...
A quarter?
2 months.
2 months?
No. 5 months.
5 months.
I think my last one was back in like November. Feels good to be back though.
And Cameron, this is your first time on the newsroom.
Yes.
How does it feel?
This room is actually very nice. Like
nice
this entire
dim.
Wall full of CDs is a. It's very.
KUCR
is
fun to look at.
Yeah.
There's a lot of history to it actually, and I mean it's in family housing, so.
It's the original building has been in since the start, so.
Yeah.
1954.
So, KUCR has been more or less broadcasting consistently since...
What was it, 68?
No, it's like... I believe it's 67.
Oh.
Or 66. Anyone from KUCR listening that hears this, please don't...
judge us.
Don't judge me. Especially don't judge me.
Well, welcome to the newsroom, everybody. Thank you all for coming, and thank you to the listeners for tuning in. We'll talking this week about some of the elections that are going on for the campus student government, ASUCR.
Juicy.
Juicy, yeah. Because you can't get enough of that Hillary 2016 conversation. We'll be talking more about elections. And then we'll go on to the California drought, the recent decision by Jerry Brown to limit water consumption by 25% for residential users. And then we will talk about the announcement of the artists who are going to be performing at Spring Splash, which should be a lot of fun. Splash.
Off the topic of droughts.
I was going to say, it's really tight. we're gonna rehydrate the conversation with the Spring Splash conversation. But first things first, let's talk about ASUCR elections, which are now going on in earnest.
Mm-hmm.
It's the elections started week one of spring quarter, which was, 2 weeks ago now? So all the parties have all their posters up. Everybody's campaigning hard. We've already done two of the debates, which you can find online at youtube.com/UCR Channel H, shameless plug. And there will actually be another debate tomorrow for the executive cabinet contenders, or actually today, I'm sorry, today, Wednesday from 1 to 2 in the Hub Plaza. So if you wanted to check that out, you have that opportunity. But let's
moderated by the...
Oh, yes, moderated by the Highlander.
By Colin.
By
the one and
yes,
only.
Yes, okay. Yes, me. Aw, thank you. Thank you, guys. I'm blushing. But let's talk about the elections. let's not talk about me. Let's talk about the elections. So there are about 60 candidates running, and they've all put their posters up now.
Mm-hmm.
I know this is something that it's kind of similar to elections last year, where all the posters were up really early. It was really super competitive. If anybody who was here last year remembers that. What do we think so far about the way that elections have been unfolding this quarter?
The posters?
The posters or just the elections in general.
Okay. Well, we've talked about in the past and also in the Highlander before about how candidates in the past have used memes, like, you know, internet things to campaign. And we've basically just been like, this is extremely bad and you're just being really lazy and like pandering and stuff. While I would say it is very difficult just to make a very good, like, overall poster that will summarize stuff. Something that I have noticed this year, actually, just yesterday, I noticed for the first time some of the posters say, issue, this,
yeah,
solution, this. And it's like, it made me think, like, now, that's a better way to I'm not endorsing anybody, just to clarify here. That's why I'm not mentioning the party. But I think that is a much more effective way of campaigning, you know, overall.
I mean, you certainly then get the idea of then what these individual candidates are for, or what they support, or what they see as a problem, right?
I don't stand for a slogan. I stand for X, X, and X issues.
Yeah. I mean, that's certainly a difference between the posters. I mean, What does everybody else think? I mean, have you been paying attention to the elections at all? Or that's actually another interesting question, is do you think students are even paying attention to the elections at this point, or are they just going around wondering what are all these posters doing up on the hub?
Well, since I'm involved with the Highlander, I know that all of this is going on. But from like a bystander's point of view, I think that I would honestly have no idea what's going on. If I look at these posters walking from like Lot 30 to campus, I see a couple posters just saying "vote for me," "vote for this person," and then like their party name right under them, and it doesn't give me much information as to like what's really going on. And on another unrelated note, I noticed that maybe because we're still at the beginning of the quarter and campaigns aren't like as full swing as they were last year at one point, but I don't see much. Like last year, I remember there were a lot of like pamphlets being handed out, a lot of like postcard things like in every seat in like UNLH. I don't see that much heavy campaigning this year, but maybe that might just be because the quarter just started. But yeah, that's my take so far.
Compared to last year, it seems a little bit, in terms of like posters, it seems to be a little bit more civil and clean. Like I don't really remember which party has these posters, but there are these posters with individual candidates and blocks of text with bullet points.
Oh yeah,
just like stating about the individual candidate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think learning about the candidate themselves is pretty interesting, but at the same time, like it's kind of just it doesn't really grab the attention of the people like using these posters and having just a block of text.
Yeah, usually walls of text are not the most aesthetically appealing things to look at. Like I walk up to that. I walk up to that essay. I'm like, you know what? The first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to read that
entire thing.
The entire thing on my way to class.
And in a few seconds that I'm walking by,
yeah. Take notes if you have a PowerPoint presentation coming up soon. No walls of text.
Yeah, don't make those TLDR slides. that's interesting that you mentioned the pamphlets and the handouts. Is that's something that hasn't happened yet? And I personally recall going into lecture halls and seeing them like right. taped to the yeah. little the little desks that you fold out from yeah. behind the seats. Mm-hmm. And I was like, where did they get the money for this?
And then you just see them end up on like the floor all over over campus, like litter. Makes a mess. Yeah.
Yeah, and I have actually heard from some people in ASUCR that, you know, if there's excessive material that's being spread around, that the hub gets kind of upset because they think it makes it look kind of trashy.
Right.
Definitely.
So maybe it's a good thing that that everything is being limited to posters so far. I mean, we still have 2 weeks to go.
Yeah,
so
I think it's only the start. Like, you know, it's going to be increasing, I would say.
Does anybody think we're going to get any giant inflatable soccer balls again this year?
I'm going to guess no.
What was the budget for that one party last year? It was like $80,000, something like that.
I don't remember it being that large.
I was going to say like $16,000.
Yes, the elections committee spent $15,000 on all of the elections last year, but the parties themselves could have spent much more or less than that. None of them we talked to were required to disclose it to us,
right.
And unsurprisingly, they didn't really. I don't
so transparent
play them. Yeah, that actually kind of ties into what we wanted to talk about next when it comes to ASUCR is that. For those people who have been on campus for an extended period of time, maybe who are seniors now or fifth years, they may remember the UCR party as being a party that ran, I'm a senior now, so my freshman year, so 3 years ago.
I thought they were around like 2 years ago.
I don't remember exactly. Yeah. They sort of fold in on themselves multiple universes.
Hold up. Cameron or Cody, do you remember UCR?
I vaguely remember it, and then I remembered a front page story on the Highlander about UCR being banned, and now I see that it's back. Like
so that was your freshman year.
So that's all. That's all I know about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So yeah, but that actually is basically what I was about to say is that the UCR party was banned last year because of its phonetic similarity to UCR. The elections director at the time used the
phonetic exact.
Like, exactly. Yeah.
As in sounding
exactly the
same.
But the elections director banned it at the time, saying that it implied an endorsement by the campus or that the party was the official choice of the administration on campus. Well, it was reformed this year with the condition that the party pronounces it YOUCR and not
stupidest
says it as UCR. And we can already see Jake's opinion on this matter. Do you want to tell us a little bit more?
This is like a huge. This is just like a sham. It's kind of ridiculous. Like you think it. I mean, okay. So most of the campus has forgotten. So now we're allowed to bring it back because even when you're saying YOUCR, you're still saying UCR, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous to think that pronouncing something differently is going to make it any difference. When somebody goes and reads that, they're not going to read it YOUCR. They're going to read it UCR. You know, like, it's ridiculous. If you banned it a couple years ago, why is it suddenly okay? I don't get it.
Yeah, it's still funny. You're still saying UCR, basically. You're just adding a Y-O in front of it.
Yeah.
Yo.
UCR.
And if candidates say UCR as their party name, they get a strike. And it's like, okay. I mean, I don't know. It's just, it's all ridiculous.
Well, I mean, once
it's like so, it's so like particular that it's like okay, why can't this is so specific, like that you, and like constrained to make sure you're not copying, but it's basically copying.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And one of the, I mean, it sounds like they're just trying to find. I mean,
loophole.
Some people will say that they'll try to find technicalities or loopholes to try to revive a party name that was banned. So, I mean, you could say that it just seems like it's just a party that's trying to abuse the system to be able to get their party name to work.
Yes.
But, I mean, will the name choice really matter? Does anybody think? Like, will it actually get more people to vote for them? Or will the fact that they ended up using this party name, will that offend people to move votes in the elections?
I think you might have to consider the fact you might have to consider whether or not UCR is associated with the values of
you
the
mean YOUCR.
YOUCR is
you just got a strike, Cameron.
asking if YOUCR is has values associated with the
UCR.
With UCR.
See,
from
it's,
the past.
We can't even get it straight here. Like this is how convoluted it is.
Yeah, and someone's guaranteed to slip. I mean, I feel like someone's going to slip. And then, like, you really went through all the trouble of renaming your party YOUCR, and then you're gonna risk getting, like, strikes or whatever just so you can have that name. I mean, you can easily have something else more simple or...
And, like, why would you try to bring that name back if you weren't trying to, like, pander to, like to sub... I think it's a psychological thing, you know, because people are just going to read UCR and it's like, I vote for UCR. Yes.
Yes, I vote for my
yes. Yeah. That's what I think, at least.
Yeah. I mean...
It seems like a big game.
Yeah. And I think maybe that's sort of maybe the big issue then is that what it feels like from last year, too, is that with the meme posters, kind of to tie it back in, is that it feels like maybe some candidates are treating it less seriously than they should be. And not realizing that ASUCR, as a student government, actually does have a degree of power over the way that student fees are spent, over the way that students at UCR live their lives, and maybe they should be taking it a little bit more seriously than they have been. But maybe that'll move votes. Maybe it won't. We'll see when it comes to elections, which are coming up in this is week three in 2 weeks now, in week five.
We'll certainly have more coverage.
Yeah, and you can definitely watch more coverage both online on the Highlander's YouTube channel, UCR Channel H, and at the Highlander itself, highlandernews.org, and you can look forward to our elections guide coming out the week of elections. So stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm. We'll be talking about it more here, too.
So. Yeah, it'll be everywhere. Sorry if you don't like it. We'll be running
we'll
with
shove
it
you down your throat
for the next 3 weeks.
We'll try to make it entertaining.
We'll try to make it edible, at least.
Yes.
Digestible.
Edible. Yes.
Another thing that happened recently was Jerry Brown's...
Real quick, if you're just tuning in, this is the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3.
FM?
No.
Well, you forgot the FM.
No,
the
yes.
FM is important.
Also streaming.
Yeah.
Yes, I was... Okay, but
go ahead.
You forgot the FM. I just need to make sure that the world knows this.
KUCR?
We are not on the AM frequency.
AM.
Yeah, no.
HD radio.
Yes.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to KUCR 88.3 FM or streaming online from KUCR.org or from the TuneIn app on Android or from the KUCR app from the App Store. And yes, I know I mixed up the order of the last two, but...
Yeah, it's okay.
We haven't,
you got
we have an app now? That's crazy.
We've had an app for a while.
Not since the last time I've been here.
Yeah, it was here the last time you were here.
They take out half-page ads on page 3 of the Highlander.
Oh.
Yes.
Anyway, Jerry Brown, it may be well known or maybe not so well known, but the state of California is in a drought, although we just had some rain on Tuesday, so I think it's over now. But Jerry Brown made a recent announcement a couple weeks back saying that California's in a really bad way and that he would be instituting a mandatory 25% restriction or cut in the amount of water that local municipal water districts can use. So what will likely happen is that this will likely be passed on to consumers in residential areas in the forms of either higher water prices or actual quotas of things that of water that people can use. One big point of contention is that 80% of the water use in California is due to agriculture, due to farming, but that sector was not included in Jerry Brown's announcement, and so there are plenty of local people, not just here in Southern California, but all across the state, complaining, hey, you know, the agricultural sector uses 80% of the water in California, why aren't they being asked to reduce their water use? And I just kind of wanted to get everybody's opinion on what they think about that argument.
Can I clarify something real quick?
Yeah.
And it's I promise I won't spend too much time on this, but is it technically is it okay to pronounce it drought as well? Because
no, a drought is something else.
Wait, okay. Because I've never known for what is a drought.
A drought is like a flask contains. Yes, it's like a flask that contains a liquid in it. So
I've never heard this before.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, moving on back to the
drought.
Back to the drought. You can't. I mean, I haven't. I'm not the most well-versed person in all this stuff, but I don't think you can not hold 80% of the state. Okay, the side that uses 80% of the state's water, not accountable, in the situation of a drought, not a drought. Which a drought would actually have water, more water than a drought, right? Because it contains
water than a drought. Yes.
Yes.
And UCR has been doing some things too, like it's stopping watering some of its lawns as much as it has been. It's just watering enough to keep the trees alive mostly. So I mean, I can already start to see, like when I'm walking past some of the lawns, that some of the grass is starting to go brown.
Grass going to heaven.
going to grass heaven? I don't know. What is grass?
Brown like Jerry?
Huh?
Brown like Jerry?
Grass heaven.
Grass heaven is greener.
Anywhere but California, that's grass heaven.
Yeah. It's. Would you say that it's greener on the other side of the fence? Grass is greener on the other side of the fence?
Yes.
If the fence is the mortal coil that ties us between life and death?
Yes.
The heaven, the pearly gates? But is UCR doing enough when it comes to the drought, or is there more that it can be doing? Or is it more up to individuals, do you think, at this point?
I think it's more up to individuals. I'm not sure what more UCR can do up to this point, besides maybe, like, cutting kids' showers in the dorms to, like, five minute limits like we were talking about a couple weeks ago. But I'm pretty sure there would be a lot of...
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that there would be armed rebellion.
Yeah. but, yeah, I mean, I think right now it's just up to you, the people, to stop this drought. And up to the rain gods to give us something that we haven't seen in the past 4 years.
Something.
I think for the drought, with UCR as a whole, I think it's going to be really expensive to continue saving water for things like replacing grass with like the AstroTurf or replacing toilets with urinals. I mean waterless urinals.
Mm-hmm.
That's an expensive project.
Yeah.
And I don't think Riverside could afford that, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, definitely because there's so much space at UCR. I mean, we don't really think of it, but there's a lot of lawn space at UCR that has grass. There's outside Hinderocker, there's outside Rivera, Pierce. Those are like the three huge lawns, but there are other small grassy areas elsewhere. And I think I don't quote me on this number, but I was reading a study that they did when they like mapped out all of the campus space, and something like 20% of the space on campus is actually grass, which is
That's significant.
A lot. But I mean, there's something that they could do when it comes to like the psychology building.
I was just going to mention that.
They've xeriscaped it, so they have desert plants that are accommodated to getting less water.
That looks nice,
and it looks really nice. Actually, it's one of my favorite buildings on campus. yes, I rank my buildings on campus in order of how much I like them.
What do you think of the entomology building?
Watkins needs to die.
The hub.
Sproul is better than Watkins, but it also should probably.
Both of the inside of those look like they came out of
a 1950s high school horror movie.
Yes. I was gonna say like a 60s high school. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
just a decade later.
And I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say this, but Sproul just got exterminated from they had like a cockroach infestation.
Oh, really?
Like last school year. Yeah.
Did they really?
Yeah. I worked in Sproul at the computer lab, and then like there would be cockroaches like everywhere. And yeah,
they just want to make friends.
Yeah, we actually named a couple of them. We named one of them Steve. He's about as big as like yeah. I don't know if I want to go into detail anymore. That was hard times.
Hard times.
But yeah, no more cockroaches. Don't be scared if you're
so if it's then. What about students? What can individual students do to kind of, like, save on water or help with the cause, as it were, if anything?
I mean, I feel like I'm repeating what, like, PSAs have told me to do for years, but, like, you know, turn off the water when you're washing your hands, do shorter showers, you know.
Turn off the water while you're brushing your teeth.
Yes, yeah.
If you don't do that already, everybody should do that. But
who leaves the water on and they're brushing their teeth?
No, this is what I want to know. Is anybody here? Okay, you're all good.
Yeah. No, I've done. Okay.
Shame on you.
I'll admit that I've done that while washing my hands, but yeah. Brushing my teeth, no.
That's the real debate.
That's the real debate. Do you turn the water off while you wash your hands?
Well, of course, it'd be easier too if all campus faucets
were motion sensing.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that just makes things easier.
Mm-hmm.
Even those sometimes are kind of like faulty. Like you hold them there for like 2 seconds, and then it turns off, and you have to move your hand just. But, yeah.
And maybe another thing could be to eat less meat. Creating meat uses a lot more water in the process of
meatless
making
Mondays.
It happen. Yeah. So UCR does Meatless Mondays, but students
even
can.
Even though we still serve meat.
Yeah.
It's just an encouragement.
Yeah. Maybe UCR students can participate a little bit more on that. Mm. There are certain like almonds use a lot of water. So try to cut back on your almond consumption if almonds is like the thing that you eat every single day.
Drink less bottled water. It takes more water to create a bottle of water than actual water that you're getting. Yeah. I think it was like 1.4 liters per liter of water that you're getting.
To create a liter of bottled water,
so
yeah.
So use a reusable water bottle.
Yeah.
Just fill that.
Mm-hmm. Or get a water filter.
Yeah. And well, I mean, there's stations around campus. I think they're
hydration stations, yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not talking about water fountains either. You know, just like, I think there's one in the hub office area. The front desk area.
Right by the front desk, yeah.
Mm-hmm, by Panda Express and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. So everybody can do their part. I mean, the state and the UCR can help out, but students, too, need to be aware that there's a drought.
Not a drought, yeah.
And do their part to help cut down their water consumption. Otherwise, UCR may decide to enforce 5-minute showers.
You don't want that, do you?
You don't want that, no. So let that be your motivator. We're going to move on really quickly now to Spring Splash. We're going to rehydrate our conversation. ASPB just announced the lineup that will be there, and it is...
I want to see if you say I'm right.
Wiz Khalifa.
Okay, that's the one that I was expecting you to say wrong.
How are you expecting me to say it?
I don't know. Like, I mean...
Wiz Khalifa.
Wiz Khalifa.
Khalifa.
No, go ahead.
Pusha T. did I mess that one up?
No.
It's funny to hear you say it.
Okay. Ms. Mister, DJ Mustard, and DJ Felly Fell.
Yeah.
Five for five?
Yes.
All right, I'll take
Congratulations.
It.
Congratulations.
Some people have been saying MSMR.
I know, I said, I thought it was MSMR when I first heard of Ms. Mister.
Yeah, it's Ms. Mister.
Well, it would help if that the band had punctuation so that you know it's the abbreviation.
Well, punctuation is not the almighty, so
it's not cool.
Yeah. Well, anyway, what do we think of the lineup? Or do we not think of the lineup?
I'm a big fan of the lineup. I didn't expect them to get someone as big. Well, I feel like a lot of the Spring Splash lineups in the past, from when I've been here, it's usually like either really mid-tier or washed-up guys like Ludacris. No offense, man, but but let's just face the truth. Wiz Khalifa's still pretty big. He's in his prime still. And he would probably be a headlining act at a lot of like big festivals nowadays. Pusha T is also really good. One of the guys on Kanye's record label. I'm a big fan of him.
He's a little more, slightly more old school though.
Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. Early 2000s, but yeah.
And Ms. Mister, I've only heard like one song from Hurricane. Yeah, yep. But I'm sure Jake can go into detail about that.
Kind of.
And DJ Mustard's a really good. He's a really good like hip hop DJ. He's a lot of fun. I've seen him once before, and I think. He's going to be one of the crowd favorites, if I were to guess. And yeah. I'm not too familiar with DJ Felly Fell, but
yeah, I didn't even know he was on the lineup.
He's apparently doing like DJing throughout the, so he's not
he's,
like
he's probably
not,
doing the in between.
Yeah, yeah, he doesn't have like his own set.
Yeah, I mean, I think the lineup's okay. I'm not really familiar enough with Pusha T or Wiz Khalifa's music. Like, I know Wiz Khalifa is really popular, or was.
Yeah.
That's the thing. That's what I think I didn't really
I was a huge fan of him back in high school. I feel like...
Word.
Yeah, no, but, like, he's still... It's not like he's not relevant anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just that his recent work, I haven't been a big fan of.
Okay.
His Rolling Papers and Kush and Orange Juice were two of my favorite albums by him.
Cool album names.
Yeah, and then the last two, Black Hollywood, O and IFC, I haven't been a really big fan of, but he's still popular. I mean, he wrote, like, the biggest track on the Fast and Furious 7 soundtrack, or he's in it. He didn't write it. I don't know if he wrote it.
He's going to need to change it to Tartan and Yellow. I know Pusha T is, like, kind of, like, you know, I don't know. I have heard of him, but I don't know anything. Apparently, solid choice. Miss Mister, and that's kind of like, I probably if I was booking, I would have probably never even thought of them, or I probably wouldn't have like chosen them at all. But well, I guess what I say about them is, it could have been worse.
It could have been worse.
Yeah,
the most resounding endorsement I have ever heard.
Well,
could have been
what?
Worse.
It does mean something because. Okay, like, you know, I like their song Hurricane that was on the radio. I really haven't listened to much more. And last year when I went to Coachella, I happened to catch their set, most of their set at Coachella. And they're pretty solid. I don't know the female lead singer's name, but it's she was like one of the most smiley people I've ever seen on stage. And she's got like weird colored hair, which is cool. So.
Well, let's hear it for people with weird colored hair. are you guys all going to Spring Splash?
Oh yes.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, go ahead, real quick, Cameron.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, hopefully we'll see you there. With any luck, you might see us, and we'll have full coverage of it, of course, in the Highlander after it happens. Unfortunately, we're all out of time for this week. We wish we could keep going, but we would probably be flayed if we continued. So I just want to go ahead and say thank you, everybody, for joining us. This has been the Highlander Newsroom on KUCR 88.3 FM. The Newsroom is a co-production of the Highlander Newspaper and KUCR. The opinions expressed on today's show belong solely to their owners and do not represent KUCR, the Associated Students, or the Highlander. Special thanks to Louis Vandenberg, Monica Taylor, Eddie Valencia, Elliot Fong, Tina Bold, and Alex Hill. For Cody Nguyen.
See you at Coachella. Weekend 2, baby.
Weekend 2. Coachella. All right. Jake Rich?
Tune back in an hour and a half at 11 to 1. I have my show Away from the Sprawl. I will be playing you music.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Do it.
Jake Rich.
I mean, if you want to, I'm not forcing you, but you should.
Jake Rich is everywhere.
I only listen because he takes requests.
Yeah. I take requests. 951-827-5827, 951-827-KUCR.
We are now shamelessly plugging away from the sprawl. All right. And Cameron Young.
Yo, this was a lot of fun. I hope I can come back and, you know, do this again.
Aw, thanks, Cameron. All right. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We will see you again next week.